Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, January 2nd, 2026. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's the dead of winter, like I got to tell you. What do you do when you run a kitchen that prides itself on offering the best local foods and the harvest season is long gone? Today, we welcome back Chef Josh Coletto, co-owner and chef at Nighthawks in Troy. We'll talk about that. A CIA grad, Josh is committed to cooking with local meat and produce, and we'll talk today about ways to preserve that good stuff until the crops grow anew. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-348-2551. We have a celebrity guest star here as well, 800-348-2551. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, 800-348-2551. We'll be back after the news. Oh, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Food Friday, and we'll begin the year by welcoming back our pal, Chef Josh Coletto, a grad of the Culinary Institute of America. Josh began his career in some of Portland, Oregon's top restaurants. Upon returning back here to God's country in upstate New York, he was integral to the opening and success of several prominent restaurants. Co-owns Nighthawks now, a little corner bar and restaurant in Troy. For Josh, it's all about fresh, locally sourced ingredients. But how do you keep it local when the days are short? Jack Frost is nipping at your nose. We'll talk a little about that today. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Also here is co-owner of Nighthawks, Howard Glassman, a WAMC alum. All-around man about town. If you want to email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. That's how you can do it, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Josh Coletto, how you doing?
Great. It's good to be back.
And, truly? You know, you don't sound that enthused.
The new year. Well, it's been recovering from the holidays.
I'm going to bring your mic a little over, closer to you, Zach. The engineer's going to have an aneurysm. There we go.
Yeah, you know, getting my wits about me after the holiday season, busy at the restaurant, busy in life and all the other things.
Let's talk about that in a minute. Let's also welcome our friend Howard Glassman. Howard, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, Ray, I've been better.
Wow, what's the matter?
You know, we go 7 days a week, and I'm kind of run down.
So you're bringing some sort of an illness into Studio A.
You know what? I came off my deathbed for this. I did this for you.
You know, you're a real trooper, and thanks for sharing whatever it is you have.
I'll
so that's
mask.
Great. It's
I'll
a very
a
small room.
On.
So, guys, how are things going at Nighthawks? I must confess, I still have never walked in the door, so I have no idea.
When's the last time you were in Troy?
When's the last time I've been out of my house?
Exactly.
You know, I tell you that. But, no, I love Troy. Troy is very cool.
Absolutely.
We did a live remote there in the summertime at the Hart Clewitt. And it wasn't a live remote, but it was recorded. I tell you what, man, Troy is a beautiful place to be. Josh, compare that to Portland, Oregon. It's better, right?
Well,
a lot better,
I would
right?
say it's a lot better, more stuff to do, great food, accessible everywhere, and
not as many food trucks in Troy.
Not as many food trucks in Troy, but we got the farms. We got the Hudson Valley Farms. So you can't beat that.
Well, so for those of us who don't know much about Nighthawks, explain what it is. Now, from what I understand, it's not a real spacious joint.
It's a pretty small restaurant.
It's intimate.
It's intimate. Yeah. Tell us about that and why you chose that to begin with, that location.
You know, we got about 40 seats inside, maybe the same in the outside during the summer. But it's really nice to have that small of a space because you can really focus on the food, bringing good quality, making sure, you know, I can see from the kitchen every single person that's eating in the restaurant, whether, you know, they know or not. But we're standing there cooking, looking out at everyone, seeing the reactions on their faces, knowing that they like the food.
So you have an open kitchen.
Totally open.
Doesn't that, I mean, do you like to be on display? Do you like, you're a showman? Do you like that? I would prefer to be behind a wall and then you do your job.
You know, I think people love seeing people cook their food, and I think it makes everything, you know, lets people know that we're clean and we, you know, we know what we're doing because, you know, you watch Amy on the line, who's the sous chef, and it's like, you know, she's dancing back there.
You know, you've been on, I don't know, you're on once a year, something like that, and you guys, you come on together sometimes. You got through the pandemic.
Oh,
Did you buy it before the pandemic?
We did. Right before it. We
opened in 2017?
2017. It was about
2018?
We were a year and a half in.
Yeah.
Then the pandemic hit.
And we know about, you know, paycheck protection and everything else, but how did you make it through? And then I think it feels, except for the hellacious flu pandemic that's going on,
right,
it seems like we're back to normal.
It was almost a fever dream when it hit. We pivoted, basically. Went from one day having everybody sitting inside to the next, like, we don't have to-go boxes. So we had to go out and get to-go boxes. And it was basically me and him and Hannah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we had to, you know, lay off most of the staff when that hit after, you know, as long as, you know, there. But me and Howard just kind of worked all the time.
Yeah, we went from 7 days a week to five, but we were open every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had customers, you know, patrons that came in every day and kept us going, and we thank them every time we see them, like Chris Bassett, yeah. every day.
You guys have been in the business a long time, well before any pandemic. And Howard, I know that you've been managing places for decades, and Josh, you've been on the West Coast and everything else. Does it feel now to you like it did prior to the pandemic? Have the scars and the PTSD dissipated?
I think it really changed the industry,
really?
In a lot of different ways. You know, I mean, I don't think it was just COVID, but I think it's a cultural shift too. But I think COVID really forced it. You know, and just people not wanting to work in restaurants as much for a little while, and people getting out of, you know, the jobs that maybe are a little more labors of love and less, you know, financially beneficial.
Do you still love it?
Do I still love it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love cooking more than anything. Some of them, you know, managing is tough, but I love food. That's just...
I love food too, but I don't want to work in a restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, I every day when the farmers bring us food, I feel lucky to eat such good products and have availability to that and access and know the people that grow it, do the stuff. That's amazing.
Hold that thought for just 1 minute, because that's where we're going with this conversation today. But I'll ask Howard the same question. Hey, I've known you since the 90s when you managed Bogies.
Remember that?
Yeah, vaguely I do.
How do you remember that? I don't.
Well, I remember, man. And so, you know, you've owned nightclubs and you've done this and that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to get out? Have you had enough?
Well, we're pretty much the same age.
You and I are
same age. You know,
old rockers.
I'm not really ready to check out from this life.
I didn't say that.
But I'm kind of ready to, I don't know. It's eventually I got to slow down.
Yeah.
Just because my body is starting to tell me I'm not 30, 40, 50.
I mean, you look
50.
Marginally
I look great. No, don't get me wrong. I look great. But my body is.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We're just catching up with Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman from Nighthawks. 800-348-2551. All right. Josh, you talked about the relationships you've developed with the farmers and the providers of meats and all these things. Now, the ostensible topic for today's show is sort of, you know, in the Northeast, it gets cold fast. It's cold now. It's lousy out. Things aren't growing. How are you preserving some of this stuff so you can use it in your restaurant, which, as you say, is open a lot?
Yeah. I mean, 7 days a week, and we want to serve, you know, there's some things that aren't local, but almost everything as far as produce, meat, things like that are local. And so if we don't want to eat squash and cabbage and potatoes only for 6 months out of the year, you know, we have to preserve by pickling, fermenting, freezing, dehydrating.
Let's talk about some of these methods.
Yeah, let's talk
now,
about
I think the last time you were on, we talked about pickling.
Yes.
Let's talk about dehydrating.
Yeah.
I know nothing about it except that you're pulling water out of whatever it is you're dehydrating.
Yeah, and you know, some things are really great for dehydrating. Like, obviously, we do tomatoes. Every year, we'll dehydrate a bunch of tomatoes. Well, we'll get hundreds of pounds of tomatoes at a time, so we do pretty much every method with those.
It's a small joint. Where you put the stuff? Howard's nodding.
If you came in and saw, you'd be amazed.
It's the shelves of pickles everywhere, many shelves throughout different places in the restaurants full of jars of tomato sauce, full of, you know, and then in the back we got bags of the dehydrated tomatoes or dehydrated fruit.
And this
things.
Is stuff you're doing yourself. Mm-hmm. You're dehydrating this stuff yourself. You're pickling yourself.
Yeah, all the crew at Nighthawks does it all together.
Where do you find time? You're still got to serve customers.
Well, you know, we have like prep cooks, and you know, everyone kind of rotates through, and everyone learns the process of pickling and preserving and stuff, because I don't think it's a really important part about food, because we have such great stuff locally, and if it doesn't get preserved, it goes bad. And we can eat tomatoes in January. We can eat green beans in January, and we just have to figure out how to preserve them and make them so that they taste great.
Okay, you got to figure out how to do that. But when you dehydrate, let's say, tomatoes, you put them in a bag. They're shelf stable now, and you can use them all winter. When you reconstitute them, can you, chef, CIA-trained chef, Josh Coletto, can you tell the difference from the fresh stuff?
Oh, absolutely. It's a whole different, you know, product. It's like, you know, drinking grape juice versus drinking wine. You know, it's they're both good, but there's a process to change it. So it's nothing's like eating a tomato in the summertime. And that's why, you know, tomatoes are so special in the summertime, is because you can't eat that. But the flavor of a tomato in a sauce is great all year. And, you know, and that tastes different. And we can make a sauce from frozen tomatoes or jarred tomatoes or even dehydrated tomatoes that's going to be different than summer. But that's part of the beauty of seasonal eating.
Let's pick this up in a bit. We got a break for a couple of underwriting announcements. Chef Josh Coletto joins us. Howard Glassman,
hello.
Restaurant magnate and all-around bon vivant. We'll be back. 800-348-2551 is the number. You want to talk about pickling things? You want to talk about dehydrating things? Otherwise preserving things? Feel free. Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff with you. Chef Josh Coletto is here, and Howard Glassman from Nighthawks in Troy. 800-348-2551. We're talking a little about preserving all the goodies that you get at harvest time here in upstate New York and New England, and keeping it good all year long so that in these, you know, you run a restaurant, you got to serve something, right? 800-348-2551, voxpop@wamc.org, if you'd like to ask our crew a question. When you're pickling stuff, I assume you're just pickling cucumbers, right?
And then right now, I mean, we're always pickling cucumbers for the burgers, because
you do your own for the burgers.
Yes.
Is that from a net profit standpoint, does that make sense?
Yeah, I see. You know, if we're talking about flavor, if we're talking about quality, then yes.
Okay, I see one guy who's obviously more in charge of the business.
I'm the guy downstairs with the checkbook.
Howard worries about that while I am upstairs.
You're the artiste.
Fermenting and pickling.
So what else besides cucumbers are we doing?
Oh, well, we got more peppers than we know what to do with, but luckily pickled peppers are good on everything. Spicy, sweet, whatever.
Yeah.
Pickled beans, pickled okra, pickled green beans. I don't know what else we got. Zucchini,
jars,
different ways. Fennel, different relishes, piccalilli, jardinera, just whatever we kind of feel like making.
All right, without getting too far into the weeds, just talk me through this process. I've never pickled anything.
Yeah, so during the season, the farmers will have everything. Great. So we'll get it. I'll just buy as much as I can and kind of tell the crew, like, listen, we got to preserve all this. We can put it's on the menu too, but we got to save this for the winter. So we'll get that. And someone will be in the back, like, say we're making pickled peppers. They'll get back there. They'll chop, you know, 30 pounds of peppers, wax peppers, sweet peppers. You know, we get 50 different kinds during the season. And then we sanitize the jars, make a pickling liquid that tastes good. You know, We use recipes for that, but
what is it? I mean, what's a pickling liquid?
Oh, that's a fair question. Vinegar, salt, sugar, water. As long as the pH, you know, you're looking for a pH of around 4 on your finished project, so you want it pretty acidic to preserve it.
What if you screw up the pH? I mean, what can go wrong? That's my question.
Well, you're not sanitized enough. Okay. Like when you start the process, if the jars have any bacteria that is not welcome on there, it's going to not preserve.
You know before your customers get ill?
Yeah, you can, you know, we can check the pH of it, you know, and if it's between like 4 and 4.5, you know, it's generally a safe pickle. You always can smell it, you can taste it, you know, and we do that before we serve anything. You know, we open every jar. You can tell if the jar is still sealed. You know, we've done it a lot, so we get the thing. But going, you know, if the jar doesn't pop, you know, it has the top is not popped, then, you know, it's a bad pickle. You don't eat that. If it's bubbling, which is a sure sign that we don't want to serve it to people, that happens sometimes.
You know, I'm marginally interested in the pickling process. We're joined by Chef Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman. Moving on from the actual pickling process, you have all this food. How do you at Nighthawks change your menu when the weather gets cold and you're relying on a lot of this preserved stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, the menu changes in the way where it gets a lot heavier and more comfort kind of food. And since we changed it every week, you know, it becomes a little more meat heavy. There's a lot of cabbage always. There's a lot of squash always because that's available all year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of storage. But, you know, we're using those pickled things. So it's okay that it's heavier because it's winter and everyone wants a little heavier. And then the summer is more fresh. But we can still incorporate, you know, a stew with pickled peppers on top is delicious.
Yeah.
You know, it brightens the whole thing up.
We are joined by Howard Glassman and Josh Coletto from Nighthawks in Troy. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's grab a call here. It looks like Susan is in Troy. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I really want to thank you, Josh and Howard, for keeping your restaurant open during COVID. I'm a Troylet. And for those who don't know, it's a person who lives in Troy. And I was a frequent patron, and I just really appreciate that. The other thing that I appreciate is you have a lot of gluten-free and dairy-free products. And I have a daughter who has those allergies. And she lives in Los Angeles now, but whenever she comes to Troy, she definitely has to go to Nighthawks for your hamburger and gluten-free bun and all your other fresh produce that you have. So thank you.
I think you're really doing a great service in Troy.
Well, thanks, Susan. Well, thank Troylet, huh? I thought it was Trojan.
Well, depends on who you talk to.
You
know, it's hard being all things to all people, but we try.
You know, you don't bake your own bread, do you?
Focaccia.
We'll do a lot of bread, but like our hamburger buns come from Prinzo's.
Yeah.
So we get those from Prinzo's. The gluten-free hamburger buns come from Our Daily Bread down in Chatham. They have the gluten-free
bakery. Have you tried them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, is there a difference?
There's definitely a difference, and they're good. And people really like the gluten-free buns a lot. I prefer a gluten-full bun myself, but you know, it is good, and you get the same experience, especially if you can't have gluten, you know, it's really nice.
We have Josh Coletto here. Chef Coletto is the head food honcho over at Nighthawks in Troy. Howard Glassman is the business brains of the operation.
Well, I don't know about the brains. I'm the business.
So speaking of the pickling process, what is this I've been sipping?
You're drinking a cocktail that our front of house bar manager Christine Hawkins came up with. It's called the Morning Dove, MOURN.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Roasted pear puree, some Earl Grey gin infused, vanilla bean, lemon, topped with a little champagne.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's a really nice, kind of an original taste.
That's all she does, those original tastes.
Yeah, that's made with local pears, of course. You know, not all of it's local, but the pears, you know, we get those, and that's try to showcase that in the drinks as well across the whole menu.
How long have you guys been open now? 2017, you said?
Seven and a half. June will be 8 years.
Well, Josh, I think you've been on prior to when you opened, right? You've
been
on the show.
Me and my dear friend Mike Lappy, who comes and works with us.
Mike comes in every couple of months.
He's the meat master.
Kobelskill?
Yes.
Yeah. And so the thing is, you know, you talked then, all those years ago, about building these relationships. And how has it changed for you now that you've been well-established in this region? Can you say no? Can you say, well, this is not really what I'm looking for?
Definitely. And, you know, having a location, instead of just traveling around doing cooking and showing up randomly, people know where to find me. So they come to me a lot more than, you know, I used to drive around to farms and meet the farmers, which is amazing. And I love to do that, but it takes a lot of time.
That can be a double-edged sword, though. People showing up, you don't want them there at that time.
That's
You're
true.
Doing something else, right?
Yeah, you know, maybe that I don't want them there. Maybe they don't use the farming practices that I necessarily agree with, or, you know, they don't understand the concept of the local food, and they want to sell me stuff based on
what's trendy.
Yeah, what's trendy, or like, oh, well, this will save you a ton of money and work. Well,
yeah,
I know.
Well, you know,
I know.
Why? Okay, we've talked about it before, but why is it important as a chef? Why is it important to you to keep it as local as possible? Why? Is this just business? A business environment, an ecosystem you're trying to balance here, or does it matter to the taste?
I think it matters so much to the taste. I think people that have been to Nighthawks can tell, certainly, that we use really good quality. But I think that as a chef, you know, part of my job is to find the best ingredients and show people how food can taste and how good it can be, other than just, you know, all these things that are prepackaged that we're so used to. If you make that same thing, like mayonnaise or...
Wait a minute, you guys make your own mayonnaise?
We didn't go through this the first time?
Howard, I
know.
Look, I'm your age, I might want to take those pills that help you remember stuff.
I write things down too.
You do, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you know, you make mayonnaise with good quality oil, local eggs. You know, it's going to be a different product than if you buy it. And not to say that those packaged products are bad. It's just there's a way to do it that's, I think, is better.
Ultimately, buying local as much as you can, produce, which you say makes a big difference for taste, and meats and things like that. Okay. Does it, from a business standpoint, cut into your bottom line?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why is it worth it?
Integrity and knowing that we're supporting the local community, the local economy, and giving people the best quality that we can. And knowing that people don't have access to a lot of these things as far as good quality food or the education they need to know that grass-fed beef or, you know, consciously raised meat is better tasting, better for you. And, you know, it feels better to me to eat.
And to circle back to the COVID times,
yeah,
you know, when everybody was scrambling to get eggs and beef and whatever, we were getting it from Highland Hollow down in Schoharie, getting our eggs from the Hudson Valley. I mean, everything was available still to us. Whereas
I was in the grocery store and every shelf was empty. I was thinking about this the other day.
Exactly.
Going in my local grocery store and just emptiness.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like living in Bulgaria in the 60s, I'm sure.
What about when there was the chicken scare not that long ago when they were
And I mean,
chicken, the avian flu?
The avian flu.
The great chicken scare?
The great chicken
scare. Or, you know, in our prices, although they're always a little higher, didn't change as much as, you know, going to the supermarket does.
Right.
And I know that someone else that's doing the work raising these animals and consciously doing it, I want to give them money more than I want to give, you know, a factory farm in Iowa.
We are joined today by Chef Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman from Nighthawks in Troy. A little corner joint. Where are you guys exactly?
461 Broadway in Troy, right across from where the old Troy Record used to be.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yes.
Okay. I got to get out there one of these years.
You know, I'll drive you if you'd like.
Really?
I'll pick you up in the morning.
Can you send a limo?
Not well.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We're talking about, you know, really whatever you want, but preserving some of these things that come at harvest time and making them last through the year, especially from a restaurant standpoint. 800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Before we get to the next call, Josh, you're the head chef, right?
Yes.
So you're basically the manager of the kitchen. Is that how this works?
Yeah, in one way or another.
And so you know, you have all these things. I mean, you got somebody making mayo, you're pickling, you're dehydrating, you're prepping vegetables, you're doing stuff. When you start your work week, do you have a spreadsheet? I've never worked in a kitchen. Believe it or not, I'm not really much of a customer service kind of person.
No. So,
no, it's true. It's true.
Not you.
So the thing is, it's like, how do you – there's a finite amount of time, and you still have to serve customers, and you still have to make everybody's food and their burgers and everything else. How do you manage that?
Well, you know, well, I have a kitchen manager now.
Oh,
Woody.
So you're not the manager. Well,
you know, but I do some of the I do all the sourcing and stuff these days. But the kitchen manager certainly has spreadsheets, checklists, and goes through because every day we have multiple menus. And so when we have the regular menu, Woody kind of manages holding all that stuff together, making sure that someone's making the mayonnaise, someone's making the pickles, someone's making the special sauce. And that's just a list that he works from.
And I guess you're open 7 days a week. So really the work week never ends.
The work week never ends.
What days off do you guys take?
Depends.
Why do you think I feel so good right now?
All right, yeah. Howard, you're looking a little peaked. The number here is 800-348-2551. Chef Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman are here. Let's go to the Southern Adirondacks. Andrew, you're on.
Yes, hi. Definitely going to try your restaurant out. I'm newer to the area. I've been here 4 years. Transplant from Washington State.
Welcome, Andrew.
Oh, come on down.
All right, so anyway, what's up?
Oh, definitely. My question was, so I used to grow their Asian mini eggplants, and I would give them away to Syrian friends of mine, and they would make bakdakchen makdus, which is like pickled eggplant. Is that anything that you guys would use?
I've never made that particular dish, but, you know, one of our favorite ways to do eggplant, are they like the little fairy tale eggplant?
Yeah, they're like marbled, like a purple and like a creamy white.
Oh yeah, those are delicious. Yeah, you know, we pickle eggplant. One of our favorite things we do we call eggplant conserva, which is an oil packed eggplant where we blanch it in a vinegar water salt solution, let it dry, and then toss it with garlic and a lot of herbs and peppers, and then cover it in oil, and then package it like that. That's kind of our favorite eggplant go-to.
There you go.
Well, I will definitely be by and have to taste your version.
Well Andrew, thank you for the
call. Looking
forward to it. 800-348-2551 is our number. You can email if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Josh Coletto is here from Nighthawks, and Howard Glassman as well. What's on the menu right now? Give me an example.
Oh,
We were just talking
about the second
about
of the
that.
Year. I'm about to go figure it out once we
really?
Once we're done here.
Well, let's do a little workshopping.
Okay,
go
let's
ahead.
See. Well,
what would you like, Ray?
Poof, I don't know. Potato skins and maybe a nice T-bone.
I don't think we got that. We got some really nice lamb chops. Some local lamb chops
there
that should be on
That'll
the menu
work.
This week.
Like the mint jelly? I'm not a mint jelly fan.
Maybe I'll make like a mint pistou, like a mint oil or something like that. Yeah. I think not so much jelly.
When your grandma used to make you tried out the mint jelly and you said, what is this?
I wish. My grandma never cooked for me.
Really?
Unfortunately. I had to learn how to cook because I didn't eat very much good food growing up. So
That's a terribly sad story.
Yeah, you know.
With a happy ending.
Yeah. But look at me now.
Howard, did you have a good upbringing?
You really want to touch? I don't know.
No,
if
I don't.
You, want to touch
you know what? Let's go back to the phones. Susan is in Schenectady. Susan, you're on.
Yeah. Hi. Loving the show. I'm making caldo verde right now.
Lovely.
In my kitchen. But I'm interested in what's the range or what kind of food generally can I expect, because I'd love to stop by.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, you know, I was...
That's what I was just trying to ask, Susan, and they're making jokes, and they're not even answering the question.
Poor Ray.
We got a lot of, you know, it's kind of French-influenced in the food, just because, you know, that's my schooling and all that.
That was such a French name.
You know? Sometimes...
I got that.
Amy will kind of go along the Italian route, and she's the sous chef, and she does a lot of the menu. But it's really you know, I like to think of it as really American or Troy food because it's just using whatever the farmers are bringing us every week.
So it changes every week?
Mm-hmm. Every week.
And then you're discussing today what's going to be on next week.
We're discussing today what is going to be on tonight.
Tonight.
Well, the holidays threw us all for a loop, so we usually have a little more time to prepare.
So T-bone steaks, potato skins.
We definitely got steak frites tonight.
Oh, really?
We got some Highland Hollow steaks are really beautiful.
What kind of pasta does Amy have?
Amy's got a lovely pasta that's definitely going to be there. She's always got that. We got vegan dishes. We got a bunch of appetizers.
Susan, what do you like? No, maybe you can influence these two.
Oh, certainly.
I like the local. I like ethnic food. We don't usually go out for a steak. I have to say I've only ever once had cassoulet and the French provincial dish. It's fabulous. You can't it takes a lot of prep, but I wonder if you ever would make that.
Yeah, you know, we've definitely had cassoulet. I think a couple weeks ago we had cassoulet. It's a good winter dish. Good for this season. We've done different bouillabaisse. There's all sorts of, you know, sorts of dishes.
That's fabulous.
The menu every week is put up on our Instagram page.
Yeah.
Maybe on our Facebook. I don't know. I don't have Facebook
right,
myself.
Yeah.
What do you exactly do?
I mean, you know, I'm downstairs sweating the numbers.
Are you running the pickling machine?
Well, changing kegs.
Wow. Okay. Oh, so you're doing what you know
best. I'm
doing
what I know. Yeah. I stay in my lane.
You make a good burger, though.
Well,
do they ever get you behind?
No. I'm not allowed to touch the grill.
He is allowed to touch the grill.
No, I'm not.
He won't do it.
No, I won't.
Cassoulet, briefly before break. What's a cassoulet?
Cassoulet is like a bean dish. It's a type of white beans that are cooked with lots of duck and pork. And a lot of times it will be, you know, duck confit in there, which is duck cooked in its own fat. And it'll be like some sausage that's cooked in this. It's a very hearty bean meat stew, usually topped with like some breadcrumbs or not, and just kind of cooked down until it's this crunchy, delicious top filled with meat and beans.
So why don't you do that tonight?
That might take a little while for tonight.
All right, fine. Let's take a break. You know what? I tell you what, Zach, the guests are not being that helpful so far. Chef Josh Coletto is here. Howard Glassman is here from Nighthawks. More of your calls coming up, some emails as well. VoxPop@WAMC.org or 800-348-2551. Let us get down and get funky. Soul Talk, there's Johnny Hammond-Smith on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Food Friday. Chef Josh Coletto is here talking about cooking local and sourcing locally, even when it's the dead of winter, which is what it is right now. Howard Glassman is here, too, basically to cause trouble. Mm-hmm. Did you say something about tuna casserole? You guys do that?
We've been doing like a Tuesday night casserole kind of thing for the winter, you know, just trying making different foods for different days. And,
yeah.
This past week, we used this really nice Portuguese canned tuna that we have, which isn't local, but
hence the
in Portugal, it is.
Exactly.
But we had it. And so we did tuna noodle casserole one night, you know. It's good.
Hot dog cassoulet, did you say?
We did it. We've done hot dog cassoulet. You know, I had a farmer hit me up and say, I got all these hot dogs that I need to sell. Are you interested? I'll give them to you at a good deal. And I said, give me your 75 pounds of hot dogs. And we figured out, you know, we've done hot dog scrapple on the menu, which is like the Pennsylvania dish. But with hot dogs, we've done all sorts of hot dog dishes.
I know you have great burgers. Because I know Howard knows his way around a burger very, very well from the old days.
Well, believe it or not, I learned it from, Josh. Yeah, well, we were across the street.
Were you over there in the back all the time?
Not all the time, but I was there in the days coming up with the—
He was the advisor, and then we did the brunch, you know, the rock and roll brunch once a month.
So when we say over there, we're talking across the street from the station. There was a joint that you owned.
Yeah, Logie.
And was that—
They used to be Cagney's.
When was that?
That was 2014 to March of COVID.
I mean,
Yeah.
You know, time flies so much.
Man, does it ever.
And
does it
when
ever.
You, just to, we'll get to the emails and the phones again in a moment. But from a business standpoint, and yeah, you know, I don't know business. I've been on radio making chump change for my entire life. When you got that place, did you think that it was going to be a winner?
I really did.
And what happened? The food was great. Ambiance was good. What happened?
What happened was, you know, it was mostly a music venue.
Yeah.
And I was trying to also run the kitchen by myself with one or two other folks.
Food was good, man.
I appreciate that. It just got to be overwhelming. And, you know, people's musical taste changed as well. And as I got older, I wasn't.
We're not quite so hip as we were.
We weren't quite as so hip, yeah. So it's like, you know what? I got out in time. You know, people like the folks over at No Fun in Troy, they're running a music venue, and they have their fingers on the pulse of what,
really?
Of what the, I say kids, 18 to 35, 40-year-olds want to go see.
What do they want to go see now?
I have not a clue.
Puppet shows? What is it?
Not a clue.
Well, you guys played over there, right,
recently? Yeah, we did. We played New Year's Eve. We were there, you and me.
All right, so enough about the. Someday we'll do a music show we'll commiserate. Rick writes in, you mentioned pickled okra before. I think I've only had an okra in gumbo or jambalaya. What else do you use it in?
Oh, I mean, you know, I can't think of a better thing to eat it in than gumbo or jambalaya. But, you know, pickled, one of my favorite things to do is to just take it out of the pickle and bread it with cornmeal and fry it, serve it with some tasty like remoulade sauce or something. So fried okra is really classic, or just adding it to different soups and stuff like that. You know, it adds like a really nice texture. It thickens it up a little bit, so you can put okra on all sorts of things.
We're joined by Chef Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman from Nighthawks in Troy. Fred writes in, what's the most time-intensive dish or course you've ever had on the menu at Nighthawks? All the best to you in 2026.
Thanks, Fred.
Well, let's see. Last few months back, we did some chicken ballantines. That was pretty labor intensive, where I boned out like a bunch of chicken legs and made sausage to stuff it with, and then like did a whole roasted dish. But you know, a lot of them are several day processes, but we kind of just take it one step at a time. We're doing so many things every day that, you know, covering something in salt, sugar, and letting it rest overnight isn't going to be too much time.
Did you guys bring fried chickens in with you today? I didn't see
four
them.
Whole chickens.
Where are they?
In a Coke. Somebody ate them out there.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you said I brought a few chickens, and I swear they're nowhere to be seen.
Anything to get in the door here.
Well, it usually works. Mm-hmm. David in Catskill writes in, hi, what's the biggest, craziest, wildest kitchen fiasco that has happened that you can talk about on the air?
Oh, well, that I can talk about on the
air?
Yeah. I don't know. one that comes to mind is the dishwasher breaking down in the middle of like a really busy service, dumping water and flooding the kitchen.
Oh, boy.
And then me pulling up in my car, running in to fix it, and getting a parking ticket in the process, and it was a bad day.
Yeah. We had our oven at home break on the eve of Thanksgiving.
That's not a good time.
Yeah. There were a lot of fun phone calls during work, and we fixed it, man. When you do something like that and you're on deadline and you fix it.
You put your mind to it, you can get the oven working.
You put your wife's mind to it. Yeah. Almost anything can happen. Kathleen writes in, for both Howard and Josh, what would be your favorite dinner meal if you can easily get the ingredients to cook and eat?
Nachos.
Definitely maybe. Nachos.
Chips, cheese.
Yeah.
That's the simplest
Some
thing
beans.
Of all.
Yeah, but, you know, a big plate of delicious nachos with chicken and ground beef.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds nothing
great.
Better.
So this guy went to the CIA.
Yeah.
I'll cut you some slack on that because that's my speed.
Listen, when
really?
when we go out to eat, the two of us, you know, it's usually to like a Mexican joint in town.
Yeah.
That you know, just popped up, maybe. I mean, yeah,
really,
they may not even have a license to be serving, and we're there.
So there's this seamy underbelly of quasi legal restaurants.
Just real food cooked by people that have something to say with it.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Chef Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman from Nighthawks. So you guys really go to other. Wouldn't that be the last place you would want to be after working in a restaurant all day, is going to another restaurant to have a meal? What, do you want to just go home and watch Green Acres or something?
If I go home, I got to cook.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. Believe it or not.
You could do the Uber Eats or the whatever the other thing is.
Yeah. I guess you could.
You could, but we don't.
But if my wife got it for me.
Right.
No, we like to go out and support the other restaurant, like Mallow's. Our friends at Mallow's, we go there.
What's that?
Well,
they're just like a great sandwich place. It's right in Troy. They make great sandwiches.
All right, Pamela writes in, I like Nighthawks, but I don't like vegetables, including pickles. Well, Pamela, you and I are simpatico 100%, my friend. Pamela writes, I can't eat wheat, and I'm having to be careful about FODMAP foods. Besides a burger, what can I eat?
Oh, I mean, it's going to change.
What's a FODMAP?
Oh, that's a hard question. That's all right. I mean, you know, it's I think that there's like a dietary restrictions that you use that that cause inflammation and stomach distress. And I'm not sure exactly what the foods
are. I'll get a nutritionist on. Just carry on.
Next episode. Yeah. You know, it changes week to week. But there's always several different meat dishes. There's always lots of different vegetarian options that aren't necessarily always vegetable heavy, but you know, we make really good vegetables. A lot of people tell me they don't like vegetables, and then they just haven't had them prepared the way that
Pamela,
I think so.
Well, you and I can be have solidarity on this, and thank you for writing in. The number here is 800-348-2551. The email is voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman are here from Nighthawks. Jim writes in, as an RPI prof, oh, I know this guy. As an RPI prof, Nighthawks is one of our standard after-hours hangouts.
Ooh.
But as a vegetarian, not vegan, but vegetarian, I end up often drinking and having an appetizer while others are having a bunch of other choices. Any thoughts on increasing meals for veggies? So we had one who didn't like veggies and now one who really likes veggies.
You know, it's a crazy world.
Yeah.
Arthur Brown agrees.
You know, during the summer, I feel like we're a bit more vegetarian focused. And it's funny, as our sous chef who cooks all this food is vegetarian as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think it changes seasonally, but it's definitely something that I think about.
I don't know. You guys must have a pretty good bar, because I know Jim personally, and he has a very expensive taste in scotch. So you guys must be all right over there.
We got a great bar.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a good drink. I've been nursing it.
We got great cocktails, great wine.
It's not a huge bar, but it packs a punch.
How many people can sit at the bar?
7, 8 maybe.
Oh, that's not good for me.
Well,
I need to have at least 3 open spaces on either side or I won't sit down.
We can put a reserve sign up.
Really?
Ray.
It might be bad for business. But in general, when I go someplace, it's bad for me. The number here is 800-348-2551. Tell you what, let's go to line one and Steve in Springfield. Steve, you're on.
Hey, so every time I go out to a good Mexican place, food truck or restaurant, I might get a burrito. The burrito always seems to be folded perfectly, almost like it's saran wrap. And when I do it at home, and I make mine out of leftovers or whatever I have for burritos, it completely falls apart in my lap. Is there a special trick to preparing it so when you fold it, it kind of stays tightly wound?
I'm listening closely.
Yeah, you got to heat that tortilla to like the right. You know, I will put one in the toaster oven at my house to get it like you want it a little steaming, but you don't want it to get crunchy, but it needs some heat on it to be able to fold. And you know, you got to use a decent tortilla. You got to find the right big old ones that you know,
flour or corn. What are you using
for a burrito? Flour.
Yeah,
yeah. But you know, heating it is probably the biggest thing.
Steve, do you do that?
Okay, I had one little hack that I started doing, and it was when my kids were little. We had leftovers; they'd eat anything in a burrito and say it was wonderful.
Brilliant.
So I would take them, and then I would place it on like 2 paper towels. I would put the stuff in the middle, fold it up, and then roll it in the paper towel. And then I often put a bunch of them in the freezer, and then we take them out, and I put a little bit of water on the paper towel, and then would microwave it. And that seemed to work pretty good. But you know, when they're heating up I've never tried, so I'll report back.
Yeah,
thank you, Steve.
I think you'll like how it comes out.
You know, Steve brought up the freezer, and we didn't really talk about that. We talked about pickling and dehydrating. Do you guys use a freezer for long-term storage of some things?
Oh yeah, I mean we got like 5 freezers because we'll get 100 pounds of blueberries, and then we'll make jam and we'll make blueberry puree that we can just stick in the freezer and pull out during the season to use. And of course, meat and, you know, things like that. We'll get a whole animal and we'll have to freeze a lot of the animals so we can work through a whole pig.
Okay, so how long? Okay, in my freezer, I'll go in and I'll find something in the back from 2022. Now, I know that even if it's in a freezer, there is sort of an expiration date. How long can you keep stuff like a whole pig or whatever in the freezer and keep it fresh and keep it good for your customers?
You know, as long as you store it and if you vacuum seal it, get rid of the oxygen, it holds pretty well. But we—
For how long, though?
Man, well, you know—
We don't know because we go through.
Yeah, we generally go through everything pretty quick. You know, at home, I'll pull stuff out of the freezer 6-8 months later, no problem. But, you know, at the restaurant, we get a couple months max, you know, out of some of this stuff because we know what's in there.
Is this your slow time of year?
Yeah. Now it is after the holidays, yeah, for sure. It quiets down.
Is that industry-wide, basically?
I think so, at least here in the Northeast where it's so cold.
Now, in springtime, in April, May, whatever, do you guys have outside tables and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on the sidewalk in Troy, it's really nice.
We pretty much double our seating.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, well, it's great until it rains.
You can't get a canopy. I see the ads on TV, you know?
It's a public sidewalk.
Oh,
so
yeah, you got a payola on the Troy.
I didn't say that.
All right, fine.
I can't prove it.
Howard Glassman and Josh Coletto join us here. The waning couple of moments here on a Food Friday. Well, tell me about this chicken that I haven't seen and is presumably gone already. How do you guys do your chicken?
Howard, tell us about the chicken.
How do we do our chicken? Well, we do the fried chicken sandwich, which is Josh's specialty from years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
I used to be a partner at the Flying Chicken when that first opened. That was in Troy many years ago before Nighthawks. But, you know, Howard was lying about the fried chicken. He didn't bring any chicken. He brought hamburgers.
I was just trying to get in the door.
You know what?
I figured if I said we had 4 whole fried chickens, they'd let us in right away.
But, you know,
I told everybody in the newsroom, they brought fried chickens.
Sorry. Next time.
We make our own buttermilk, though, at Nighthawks.
How do you do that?
With New England Cheese Supply has a great buttermilk culture that I like, and then we kind of
you churn it.
You don't got to churn it. We do New England style buttermilk, which is a cultured buttermilk, as opposed to
culture rate.
You know, the buttermilk that is the byproduct of making butter.
I see. Okay. All right. So we only have about 45 seconds left here. Just say whatever you want. No calls to action, Howard. It's public
Howard,
radio.
Yeah, no calls
don't
to action.
Don't do verbs.
No, we're at 461 Broadway in Troy. We've got people that live in East Greenbush that come in sometimes like, I never knew you were here. I've lived here all my life. So just letting you know where we are and what we're doing. We're open 7 days a week. We do brunch on the weekends.
You know, East Greenbush is not that far from downtown Troy.
It's not that far. Right. Yeah, that was my point.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We got a lot of farmers. Shout out to all the farmers and all the valleys around here.
Well, I'd say this was fairly informative. You guys are fairly well behaved. So, anything else?
Yeah, maybe we'll come back when it's a little warmer and we'll tell you what's going on in the warm weather.
Well, we'll see about that. I mean, you were good, but you weren't that
good. Not that good.
All right. So anyway, Nighthawks, you guys have a website?
Yes, we do.
Nighthawkstroy.com.
But Howard has nothing to do with it, apparently.
I usually take care of the website stuff.
Yeah.
When do you have time?
Late at night.
Don't you have an intern?
A what?
An intern?
We're looking for one, though.
Are you really?
No, but stop by.
It's a great idea, right?
No, that would be great.
You know, someone can learn the business and...
And then run away. Once they learn, they'll be like, this is not for me.
But think about the good vibes you generate.
That's all about the good vibes.
All right, fellas, listen, it was a lot of fun having you here. Happy New Year to both of you. You said you're on Instagram?
Yeah, we have Instagram, we have Facebook.
And how do you just search up
Nighthawks Troy?
Yeah. All right, fellas, great job, and we will see you soon. Sorry about the chickens. I'm sorry you brought it up to begin with.
Next time.
Support comes from Cafe Capriccio, now booking their classic Tuscany tour for September 26, highlighting the food, wine, and culture of the Tuscany countryside. RuaTours.com for reservations. And Clock Estate, Hudson, New York, an earth-to-glass brandy distillery and destination that features tours, tastings, fine dining, and a hilltop view of the northeastern Catskill Range, clock-estate.com. Thanks again to Chef Josh Coletto and Howard Glassman of Nighthawks for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer, who's forlorn about the chicken. And I'm sorry, sir. Barb King screened the calls. Barb, thanks a lot. I don't know if she likes chicken, so she seemed okay. Thanks for joining us today. We will be back on Monday for a Medical Monday, and I believe it's all about the exciting world of vascular surgery coming up, so we'll see you at 2:00.